Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
I'm starting a brand new series today on living by divine design. I believe that God has a plan for each and every person. From Adam till Armageddon, from the beginning of creation till the end of this world. Amen? I'm going to talk about how you can find it and walk in it. And today's going to be a little bit different. It's different than what I planned when God spoke to me about teaching on this. But as I was praying and preparing, I felt like the Lord wanted me to lay this foundation for the message. So we're going to begin in Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to read verse 4 through verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you. I chose you as a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said to me, say not I am a child, for you will go to everyone I send you to, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see the rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now God spoke to Jeremiah. And God said, before I formed you, in verse 5, in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, I set you apart. I sanctified you. I chose you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, I believe just like God calls apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I believe God calls different people in the body of Christ to do different things. Keep preaching. My pants are messed up. Hallelujah. So what's new? God calls different people to do different things. And I believe just like God calls people to preach the gospel. You know, I wouldn't want to be a preacher if God didn't call me to be a preacher. I sure wouldn't want to be a pastor if God didn't call me to be a pastor. Not only that, I would not want to pastor in a place that God did not call me to. Do you know, actually, God spoke to us a period of time before we came here to do this about it. And it kind of challenged my thinking, and I had to check it out with some different people and get a real witness. But when God spoke to me and told me to come to Colorado Springs and start a church, I'm like, okay. But he had been actually dealing with Barbara and I about change for 3 years prior to that. And then he spoke to us about 6 months before we actually moved here. And when he spoke to us, I'm like, okay, let's go. It's God. Hallelujah. But he began to draw us and do different things and reveal this to us. But you know what? I wouldn't want to be a pastor if God didn't call me to be a pastor. I wouldn't want to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, or teacher. Talking about a fivefold ministry gift preacher unless God called me. And you know, there are people that try to do it in their own strength and they fail. Even in different ministry gifts. I had a friend who was an evangelist. I loved him in Bible school. He had been a drug dealer. He had been a mess. He was a hippie. In fact, him and I went to Russia together preaching, and they called us the hippie and the redneck preaching team. But this friend was so successful as an evangelist. He was going to Dr. Lester Sumrall's church. He married a very beautiful woman. They had children. He was preaching 50 different churches a year, all but two Sundays. That was a miracle. That was so difficult. If you tried to, and he was doing really, really well. But then he got this idea. Some of them were called, and some of them were sent, and some of them got up and went. So he decided that he was going to go back to his hometown and start a church and be a pastor. There was one problem. God did not call him to be a pastor. And he went there, and he worked, 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 and he worked. And he was very unsuccessful. You know why? Because God did not call him to be a pastor. Did you know what? He ended up back in drugs, divorced his wife, and in prison because he thought that he could be a minister of the gospel in his own strength. I believe just like God calls people to be in the fivefold ministry, God calls people to be in business. God calls people to be school teachers. God calls people to be in medicine. God calls people to be attorneys. God calls people to do different things. And you know what? You, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you need to be 100% there with all of your heart and do a good job. Praise God. And I believe if you do that, then God can promote you and bless you. You can learn how to be a blessing and to be blessed wherever you're at. Sometimes people think it's always greener on the other side of the fence. I'm going to tell you, in the natural, it's a lot harder to be in the ministry than most people think. Amen. Did you know only about 10% of people who go to Bible school end up in the fivefold ministry? Then of those that get in the fivefold ministry, 80% of them quit within the first 5 years because it is much more difficult than you think. You don't know how it is. I'll be honest with you. And did you know over 90% of people who get in the fivefold ministry quit before they're 65 years old? I'm 61 as I stand here today preaching to you. I've been preaching for well over 40 years. I've been preaching since I've been about 16 years old. I'm telling you, I have no intention of quitting. I have no intention of retiring. My personal opinion is retirement is not scriptural. Now, I am planning my roles will change. And what I do, I will do different things when I get older. Hallelujah. I'm speaking for myself. But I think a lot of people miss their most productive years and their most productive assignments because they quit too soon. Hallelujah. Now, part of that might be opinion, but part of it might be Bible. So I just want you to think about some things. Because a lot of people think, well, I can't be happy if I'm not in the ministry. You don't know. Most people, it's a lot different than they think. And it's a lot more difficult than they think. Just being really, really honest. So be where you're at. Whatever you're doing. The scripture says, whatever you do, do it with all your might. And do it as unto the Lord. And be a blessing. And I believe God will help you get where he wants you to go. Amen. So God spoke to Jeremiah, and he told him, this is what I called you. Did you know what? God has a purpose for our life. We were created for a purpose. God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And I set you apart, and I chose you. Created with a purpose. Did you know every person is created with a purpose? God has a purpose for all of his creation. Do you know there's an epidemic in America? An epidemic of teenage suicide. Do you know why? Because we've taught them that they evolved rather than that they were a created being. And you must teach people primarily you are the creation of God and you are a unique creation of God. God has a purpose for your life. Turn with me to Psalm 139. And let's look at this scripture right here in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13. For you have possessed my reins, it says in the King James. The modern English says, my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed, and in your book all of my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In other words, God had a plan for you, your physical being. I believe he had a plan for you, spirit, soul, and body. Before you were ever born, how precious are your thoughts to me? Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. There's a plan. God has a plan, I believe, for every person. Paul told Timothy, this is an amazing scripture to me. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Get this. Before the world began. Before the world began, Paul said, Timothy, God saved us and called us. Now, do you know God's will? We'll talk about this. For all men is to save everyone. Not everybody's answered the call of salvation. But God's called everyone to salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 says this. In verse 11 and verse 12, pay attention to the first two verses. Two words, excuse me, in this verse, Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. In whom? So who's he writing to? This is written to believers. It's written to those who are in him or in Christ. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. So first of all, you have to be in Christ to be included in that. And in Christ, God has an amazing plan for your life. But it's not automatic. You have to believe it to receive it. See, grace makes it available, but faith makes it a reality, and if you don't believe it, you won't receive it. He goes on to say this, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted Christ. That term, to the praise of his glory. Paul uses that term prior to this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Where he makes the statement, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. That term, to the praise of the glory of his grace, means this. When God looks at you, when God sees you in Christ, God sees you in your full potential in Christ. And God accepts you based on your full potential in Christ. In other words, he's not looking at all your faults, all your failures, all your flaws, all your misgivings, all the things that you did wrong. He sees you in your full potential in Christ to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's what that term means. Wherein, that word wherein means when you come to a fixed position of rest in the grace of God. And when you rest in the grace of God, he makes you accepted. So he sees you in your full potential. If you begin to see that and you rest in his grace, then he says you're accepted. Accepted, not according to all the things you've done right, not according to all the things you've done wrong, not according to any of that. You're accepted because of grace. Wherein he made you, everybody say, I'm accepted. And you know, there's so many people dealing with rejection. My husband rejected me. My wife rejected me. My child rejected me. My parent rejected me. My boss rejected me. My pastor rejected me. The church rejected me. Well, who cares? Because it doesn't matter what they say about you. Did you know the most important person's opinion of you is Jesus? I've had people that I really look up to, that I highly esteem, maybe as much as anyone in the world, at times say very negative things about me. And guess what? I knew my mind had changed. I knew I was rethinking some things. So I thought, they just don't know where I'm going. Now those same people say completely different things in the same area. Why? Because I changed my thinking in that realm. I was already going there, and I already knew because I changed my thinking. I thought, oh, they just remember how I used to think and how I used to operate. And now they talk about me in a completely different realm. But who cares? What, even if they're your... See, because it doesn't matter to me really what the world thinks. This is not a secret-sensitive church, by the way. I was sitting on a plane the other day, coming back from a full gospel meeting, and I heard it was a man sitting next to me and then his wife, and she was talking to her kids on the phone that were in the back of the plane and telling them they're going to straighten up or she's going to come back there. I said, Mama, you're doing a great job with your kids. And I happened to take my Bible out of my, you know, backpack, and I stuck it right there, and the guy said, that's a good book. Ends up, he's a young adults pastor at a very, very large church. And so as I was reading my Bible, he's looking, and he said, you've read that thing a lot. I said, I sure have. I use it. Praise the Lord. And so he found out I was pastor and found out what I do. And he says, can you tell me what you think is the most negative thing that's been in the church or the body of Christ in the last few years? I said, the seeker-sensitive movement. It has been very destructive. We are not here. Who ever heard of being seeker sensitive? Who cares what the world thinks? Why don't we be God sensitive, Christ sensitive, Holy Spirit sensitive, and Word of God sensitive? Why don't we set the standard? You want to look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world to make the world accept you? And you got a worldly Pergamos church. Read what Jesus said to Pergamos. We don't need a Pergamos church. You know what we need? We need a Philadelphia church. The church of brotherly love. The church that's taken the world with missions. The church that's doing what Jesus called them to do. Amen. Jesus didn't have any rebuke for two churches. The persecuted church and the church of brotherly love that was taking the world. I've set before you an open door. Hallelujah. That's what I want to be. You know, there's two last days churches, Laodicea and Philadelphia. You know what Laodicea is? The lukewarm church. I have some things against you, Jesus said, and I'm going to vomit you out. I would rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. Did you know Jesus even offers grace to the church in its worst condition, which is Laodicea? He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will have fellowship with him." By the way, did you know the book of Revelation is not the revelation of gloom, doom, and damnation? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, Savior, chapter 1, Lord of the church, chapter 2 and chapter 3, and coming King, chapter 4 through chapter 22. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 22, the last verse, I think it's verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's a revelation of grace. Hallelujah. But you just didn't see it that way because you didn't see Jesus in the revelation. And it is the revelation of Jesus. God said, "I called you a prophet before you were ever born." What's God called you to be? Did you know what? I believe true success is found in what God called us to be. Now let's go back over here. God had a plan. God had a purpose for your life. God, Paul speaks about it. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but his purpose and grace. In him, we've obtained an inheritance. And he's predestinated us according to the purpose of him who calls all things after the counsel of his will, that we should walk out his purpose and plan, the praise of the glory of his grace. So we're created with purpose. There's a purpose for everyone. Did you know his purpose for everyone begins with the creation? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and read about the creation, beginning in verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." We are created in the image of God. I had this lady years ago, and she used to say, "Oh, I just don't know how God looks. I don't know." I said, "He looks a lot like you. Don't get religious on me." After our likeness, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let them have dominion. We're created with authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over cattle, over all the earth, over everything that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. There's not only a dilemma of teenage suicide in America, there's also a dilemma of sexual identity. And God made them male and female. To deny male and female is to deny God. Verse 28. And God blessed them. Do you know you're created for the blessing? You're created in his image. You're created in his likeness. You're created with authority. You're created a physical person. And you're created for the blessing. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish, over the birds, and over everything that moves on the earth." Not only are we created in the likeness and the image of God, created to have authority, created male and female, created for the blessing, but we are created to be productive. My son Andrew recently was offered a job. He called me to ask me about it. He said, "Dad, what do you think about this?" I said, "I don't know. Think about your family. Think about your freedom. Think about the taxes." I hadn't even asked him how much it was going to pay. Then after that, I said, well, how much are they going to pay? He told my mom, it's a lot of money, son. But you know what Barbara said? Think about where you can be most productive. Wherever you are, you ought to be productive. Hallelujah. I get up nearly every day at 4 a.m. Mary Kay Ash, the founder of Mary Kay Cosmetics, said if you get up at 4 a.m. and go to work, you'll get more work done by 8 o'clock than most people do all day. Be productive. You'd be amazed at what I get done before 9 a.m. I start early. I work late. I love to work. God created us to work. Hallelujah. You know why I love to work? So I can be a blessing. So I can fulfill my God-given purpose. Amen? We need to do what God called us to do. We're created to be productive. Be productive. Not only this, what's God's purpose for everyone? What's God's will for everyone? 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 says, God will have all men to be saved. It's God's will for every person to be saved. Why isn't everybody saved? It's God's will for everybody to be saved. But yet the same Bible that says it's God's will for everybody to be saved says there's going to be a lot of people in hell. It's not God's will for any person to be in hell. Hell was not made for man. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But there's going to be a lot of people in hell. Why? Because they did not choose to believe Jesus. They didn't choose to go God's way. Amen. He'll have all men to be saved. And two, he will have all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants you to be saved. It's God's will for you to be saved. Number two, it's God's will for you to come to an experiential revelation knowledge of the truth. Amen? Do you know what? There's a lot of people that have been saved that don't really have a revelation knowledge of the truth. A working knowledge of the Word. You need a working knowledge of the truth of Jesus and a working knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, he's not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. What's it mean to repent? It means to turn around. Means to change direction. Do you know the Bible says that God repented in the days of Noah? He didn't do any sin, but he changed his mind. You can be in a place where you're not sinning and still need to repent. You can be in a place where you're not sinning and you still need to change your thoughts in some areas. The next three messages, I'm going to deal mostly with that, with changing the way that you think. Because if you want to get where God wants you to go and do what God wants you to do, you're going to have to change some of the ways that you think. And as long as you keep thinking like you've been thinking, you're going to keep doing what you've been doing and saying what you've been saying, and you're going to keep receiving what you've been receiving. So if you want to change what you're receiving, you got to change what you think, change what you say, change what you do, and it'll change what you receive. Praise the Lord. God's not willing that any perish, but all should come to repentance. John 3:16. Let's turn to John 3. Let's look at this really closely. John chapter 3. Let's look beginning chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. How many of you believed on Jesus as your Lord and Savior? So you are not condemned. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're not condemned. Amen? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. So number one, it's God's will for everybody to believe on Jesus, because the way to be saved is to believe on Jesus. Believing Jesus changes everything. Hallelujah. But this is the condemnation, that light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deed should be reproved or exposed. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be revealed or manifest, may know that they are wrought, that they are birthed, that they are born in God. So number one, God wants you to believe on Jesus. Number two, he wants you to come to the light. Let's say that's darkness, this is light. Let's say that's sin, this is righteousness. Did you know what? As a believer, I am not trying to, let's say this is sin right here. I am not trying to live as close to hell as I can and still make heaven. I'm not trying to live, right? See, because when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and found out who I was in Christ and found out I was the righteousness of God in Christ, instead of this stuff being attractive to me, it was putrid to me. And you know what I did? I found out I am the light. Jesus is the light of the world and his light's living in me. And I walked out of darkness into the light. And now I live over here. I might slip and fall, but it's like the difference between a hog and a sheep. If you get a hog and make him real pretty for the fair, milk bath and shine him up, if you're not careful, between the barn and the show ring, he'll break out of the little alley and he'll get in the mud hole and he'll roll in the mud because he loves mud. You know why? Because he is a hog. He has a hog nature. If you love mud, you need to get born again. Amen. Amen? You take a sheep. You get him all white and pretty and clean, and you show him at the fair, and you bring him home for a month, and he don't even have any mud on it. It might rain. He might get a little mud in the mud hole in his crail. He might slip and fall in the mud. But sheep hate mud because they're sheep. I've had hogs and I've had sheep, and sheep stay clean and hogs can't wait to get in the dirt. I had two hogs. I traded some hay for them, a pickup load of hay for two hogs, and I raised them up, soaked wheat in a barrel and fed them, and then had them butchered after a while. The big hog would dig out of the back of the barn. The barn was about 100 yards from the house across the county road. He'd come across the road. We'd be watering mama's grass with a sprinkler, you know. He'd get under a big bush out there and make a mud hole. And then he'd come run to the crail when you had the food ready. Amen? He loved mud. You know why he loved mud? Because he's a hog. If you love mud, get saved. Amen? Get saved. If you want to go get drunk and go cheat on your wife and go steal and rob and commit extortion, get saved. Because I don't want to do it. Listen, I love a deal. I like to get a deal. I found something on Craigslist years ago. I went and bought this headboard. You know, God told me to quit negotiating at a certain point, but I didn't quit. And I negotiated a little bit farther. And instead of quitting at $50 where God told me to quit and paying the $50, I negotiated to $40 and paid $40. And then when I got home, God said, send a gift card for $50 to their address. Because I told you to quit negotiating at $40. So negotiating an extra $10 cost me 40 extras. Because I obey God. Hallelujah. Amen. What are you? You're a sheep. Believe on Jesus and come to the light. Walk in the light. If you have fellowship with one another, right? What happens? If we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So it's God's will for everybody to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It's God's will. You believe on Jesus and come to the light. Walk in the light. Why? Because Jesus is the light, and you've got his light living in you. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That means if it's not good, right, and true, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, don't do it. Amen. Praise God. So, purpose for everyone. Amen. Be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But there's a purpose for us individually. Let's go back to Jeremiah and look at this really quickly. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, but we'll go on from there. God said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, I set you apart and I chose you as a prophet to the nations. Then Jeremiah replied, oh, Lord God, I cannot speak. I'm a child. I can't do. Do you know what Moses said? I can't do it. You know what Gideon said? I can't do it. God said, quit saying what you can't do. Quit saying what you think. Start saying what I think. The Lord said, don't say I'm a child, for you will go to all I send you. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't fear. Say what God says. Don't fear, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand forth and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Start saying what God says about the situation. Yes. See, I have set you today over nations, over kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, Dr. Lester Sumrall talked about this. He said anybody can tear something down, but it takes a wise person to build something. Dude, there are a lot of people, all they go, they got a tear down ministry. Well, what are you building on the backside of what you're tearing down? And if you're not building something on the backside of what you're tearing down, you probably don't have that ministry. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord to me, you have well seen. You're seeing right, for I will hasten my word to perform it. How are you going to do it? Keep saying what God says. Don't be afraid. Keep speaking his word and rest in his grace. I will hasten my word to perform it. Man, there are some times that you know that grace just took over. You see, I understand there's an aspect of faith. I understand Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. I understand that Jesus said to the sick man lying on a bed, get up, take up your bed and go to your house. Amen. I understand there's an aspect of faith and acting on the word of God. But sometimes God just says, just receive it. Just receive it. Because it's not about what you do. It's about what I've done. And you learn just to rest in the grace of God. Amen. I used to take people, I'd pray for them. If they had a problem, stand up with their shoulder. I'd say, lift it up, move it around. My God, they'd have tears running down their eyes and they'd be hurting all over. Now I found it works better. They'll be going, no, just put your hands down. Now just receive the power of God. Amen. Just receive it. Receive it. And then I'll go, now, reach out your hand. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing, Pastor. Hallelujah. See, there's a different aspect of resting in grace. You understand? I remember years ago, I was probably 18 years old preaching for Marty Younger. He had a little boy. That little boy had never rolled over in his bed on his own since he had been born. And I got him and I jerked him everywhere. And I was praying for him. Man, tears were running down his face and he was hurting. And mom and daddy were like, Marty and Kathy, my God. But that night he rolled over on his bed, in his bed, on his own. Praise God. You know, God is with us. And God helps us wherever we're at. But there's an aspect, I will hasten my word, to where you just believe it and receive it. And it's, I can't heal anybody in my own strength, in my own power, my own ability. I can't do any of that. But Jesus can. I'm going to hasten my word to perform it. Hallelujah. You know, when I built our first church in Kit Carson, I said, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And 13 years later, God called us to come to Colorado Springs, and I told Barbara, baby, if Jesus doesn't show up, we are toast, because without him, we can do nothing. I can't do this. This is not my doing. This is not my ability. This is not my strength. It's the Spirit of the living God. Now, can I give you just a little bit more? How do we do it? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Let's read beginning in verse 10. We'll go through verse 14. I'm going to share something with you I've never seen before. I studied this and I've read this 1,000 times at least. Verse 10, how do we do it? Number one, you need to get to know him. The ultimate goal of our Christianity is to know Jesus. Great people of faith are people that know Jesus. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable to his death. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I just want to let Jesus live his life big in me. Not as though, look at verse 12 really closely, I had already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended of Christ Jesus. Not only do we need to get to know him, we need to continue to pursue him. Did you hear me? We need to continue to pursue him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 about verse 24, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For he who loves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. But he said it this way in Luke chapter 9. He said, if any man's going to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For he who loves his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus, the Son of God, 3 years into his ministry, right before the cross, went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know what he prayed? Not my will, but your will be done. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, his flesh was struggling, but not my will. Your will be done. Get to know him, pursue him, and continue to pursue him. See, I started my first church saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we started this church and I said, without him, I can do nothing. Get to know him, pursue him, continue to pursue him. Get a hold of what he got a hold of you for. Get a hold of him. But listen to this, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep pursuing him. Keep pursuing his purpose. Paul says, this one thing I do. I forget. Do you know what? Some of you need to forget your past failures. I've been a place in life before where I had like a neon light flashing in my mind. You failed. You failed. You know what that is? That is the devil.
Yes, it is.
And you know what? You need to forget about it. But not only do some of you need to forget your past failures, some of you need to forget your past successes. Because God wants to take you some new places and God wants to do some new things. So he says, this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind me and I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can I give you one more? Keep believing and speaking the word. Go with me to Psalm 119. Let's look at Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart I've sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Keep hiding the word in your heart. Your relationship with the word determines the place that God holds in your daily life. Blessed are you, Lord. Teach me your statutes. Humble yourself to the word of God. With my lips, I have declared all the judgment of your mouth. Keep speaking the word of God. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Any ever rejoice when you get blessed? I stick up both my hands. You love the blessing? Why? You're made for it. God made you to be blessed. He made you to be productive. He made you for glory and honor, and that includes the blessing. But he says, I have rejoiced in your word as much as in all riches. Oh, how I love his word. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. My son Peter went to Princeton University. And after his first year, he came back at Princeton University. He was working for L. Pomar, the Penrose family, doing an internship that summer. And he came to teach at our youth. And he said, I'm going to teach them how to be successful. You know what he taught? Meditate the word, speak the word, do the word, for you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. You know how I went to Princeton? Well, number one, when he was just out of seventh grade, he went to our youth camp in the summer, and God spoke to him and said, you're going to get in college through football. He went to Princeton playing football. But number two, when he's a junior in high school at our summer camp, God spoke to him and said, you're going to go to Princeton University. We said, well, apply here, and apply there. See what God does. So he went to the football camp. He ran a 4.3 40 in tennis shoes on a wet turf field. That night, the coach was talking to him. Now, Peter's tough as nails, right? 175 pounds, benched over 350 pounds. Fast, right? But you know what he said? Princeton's D1. He said, Daddy, at this level, these guys hit really hard. There's a better way to make money. Hallelujah. Because it gets higher, right? Every time you get another level, all these guys start out at 10 years old, I'm going to be a superstar. And then at 12, a lot of them are gone. And then at 14, more of them are gone. And then at 16, more of them are gone. There's very few that can compete at this level. But he got there and said, it's a lot harder than you think. I'm going to do something else. Hallelujah. But here's how you succeed. Joshua 1, verse 7 and 8. Meditate the word. Speak the word. Do the word. And you will make your way prosperous. And you shall have good success.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.